Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Eternal three in one. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The text from Luke 2, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The presentation for the baby Jesus at 40 days old is not to be confused with his circumcision of Jesus at 8 days old. And be careful, Christians. These events are already describing your salvation. Take heed, therefore. Pay attention. At the circumcision of Jesus, when he was only 8 days old, our Lord already began to shed his precious blood in order to save us. His perfect fulfillment of the law of God was already being conducted, not for himself, for he was already pure and sinless, but for us, so that in his perfect fulfillment of God's law, his life would be counted for our sinful lives. But there was much more to be done. And 40 days after his birth, 32 days after his circumcision, he is brought to the temple, this time for a presentation that was for purification. The Holy Family brought prescribed clean and sacrificial animals for their entire family's purification. In this case, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And while it may be easy for us to understand why Mary and Joseph needed purification, as they too were sinners, what about Jesus, the one who is definitely included here, but who is very God of very God and without sin? This tests us, dear Christians, as to how much we actually understand the saving gospel. Too often, religious folks throw the word gospel around, but if we were to stop and ask, what exactly does it mean? I'm not too certain how some folks would do. The good news of salvation in Jesus Christ is quite simply a happy and glorious swap. God got something from you, and you got something from God. And this is the single most important trade in the history of man. Recently, we swapped Christmas presents, right? So if we are to be saved, then we need to know this gospel, the gospel that is about a swap. Again, God got something from you, and you got something from God. But exactly what are we talking about? To put it simply, Christ got your sin, and you got his righteousness. Merry Christmas. Jesus became the sinner. You became the Holy One. Happy Christmas. Jesus became the guilty. You became the innocent. Thanks be to God. The righteous one was counted as being unholy. But the unholy sinners like you and me are now counted as being righteous and holy. That's the trade. That's the swap. That's the exchange that Jesus worked. And this is the crux of the gospel, the good news. The good news of salvation from sin and death. This is your glorious gift, this Christmas. This exchange is exactly what is described here at Luke chapter 2, at the presentation of Jesus with Simeon. Sinners are to be presented and purified, but Simeon can only praise God for salvation in seeing this one. He knows the swap is taking place. This explains why events like the presentation are recorded in Scripture. Many people do not see the significance of these events. Why is this event that occurred 2,000 years ago of any relevance for our lives here today? And this general tendency to underestimate the revelation of the Word is our serious sin problem. The presentation of sinners before God says that sinners, like you and me, require sacrifice. Their sin, our sin, must be dealt with. Something must cover our sin. Otherwise, there's no standing before God at Christmas or any other time. Without the sacrifice, our sin would be exposed. We would be overwhelmed by guilt and shame. We could never stand before a holy God. But in this event of Jesus' presentation, Jesus stood for you. He was presented for you. And now you can stand before God. This event demonstrates why Jesus came. In every step of his life, he was working to save you, dear Christian, from sin and death. The presentation guarantees it because a sinless 40-day-old child had no need to otherwise be purified. We fight, however. We fight because it seems so unnecessary. Our sin problem is not simply that we underestimate the importance of God's holy word, but even worse, we don't really feel the need for this swap to take place at all. We continue to hold to the idea that we can stand on our own. We're pretty good people. We are okay. And perhaps the greatest sign that this is our true problem is that we don't really celebrate Christmas the way we ought to. And yes, we're still in Christmas, now the third day, and we lack the true joy that should flood our souls because our sinful nature keeps getting in the way. Why do we lack joy? It's because we feel sufficient in ourselves. We're satisfied with the gifts that we give to one another instead of looking beyond them and knowing the eternal joy. Do we really need the happy swap of the gospel? Do we really? Do we really need this exchange to take place? Are we really that bad? Are we really that sinful? Do we really need to be saved from sin and death? Of course we do. But in our sinful nature in the world and the evil one, these dull our senses and decrease our spiritual yearning. Again, we're okay. We don't really believe that we needed Jesus to actually take our place. We feel that we should be able to stand on our own merit. But we're wrong. Deadly wrong. But the true power and beauty of the presentation is that this exchange, this swap, obviously didn't wait for you and I to get our act together. God didn't say, "I'll send Jesus to do the swap to save you just as soon as you figure everything out. Just as soon as you are properly convicted and properly contrite. Or just as soon as you see the light, then we'll talk about sending Jesus." God doesn't wait. Thank God. He loves you too much to do that. Instead, he makes the first move and the next and the next. He exerted the swap, and then he comes through his word once again in grace, mercy, and love for you on this third day of Christmas. It's actually vital that we know that this presentation actually occurred. The message that saves you is not a theory or a potentiality. The message that saves you really happened. It's been established in history. So this real event is recorded in Holy Scripture, a real event marked by what was received through Simeon's arms and Simeon's eyes and Simeon's ears. Simeon entered the temple. He took Jesus into his arms, and all of a sudden, filled with the Holy Spirit, Simeon saw with his eyes the power of God. This 40-day-old child was all of a sudden presented to Simeon in a vision of a 33-year-old man dying on a cross, shedding his blood, atoning for the sins of the world. And with this baby in his arms, the Spirit's vision in his eyes, Simeon could proclaim and hear with his ears the words that did not come from himself, but words that came from God. And those words are recorded in his great song. Simeon knew who he was looking at. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you are prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. He was so full of joy and assurance and the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, that brothers and sisters in Christ, he was ready to die. This will be more difficult for younger people to understand, but it's easier for the older Christians here, I think. This world and this life have many beautiful things. We're thankful for the great gift of life here on earth. But the best of all things is in the Lord. To know Him is to know the best part of life. That is here, but not confined to just being here. Is eternal life that includes this world and eternity beyond it. We know that in Christ we will not die, but live, so that this thing called death becomes as nothing to the Christian. So Simeon can say that now that he has seen Christ, he's ready to die. He's able to say it because of what he has seen. Yes, what we see is vital, and the Lord knows that what you see is also vital for your faith. In Jesus, Simeon sees salvation. He sees the one on the cross, the one who defeats the grave. And Simeon confirms that this salvation and revelation is for all people. After his song, he says more to Mary, and he assures her, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." That is, there is only one of two states to be in while standing before the living Lord and Savior, our God, either the state of condemnation at the Lord's left hand or the state of salvation at the Lord's right hand. A person must either rise or fall. There's no third option. So there Simeon is, experiencing the new creation, holding Jesus in his arms, seeing Jesus with his eyes, hearing Jesus in his ears. He was experiencing the truth of the great swap with his very arms and eyes and ears. And dear Christians, nothing has really changed. Jesus comes again to his temple, but now the temple is you, the church. He still comes among sinners. Jesus comes among you and me. This is where the happy and glorious exchange continues to be proclaimed and eaten. This is where God's righteousness in Christ is distributed to sinners, and where sinners experience for themselves their new righteousness with their arms, their eyes, and their ears. He permits you, dear Christian, to hold him in your arms. You hold in your arms the very body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament. With your eyes, you see your salvation in, with, and under the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of sins, which the Lord never tires of giving you. This is what keeps you alive. And with your ears, you hear his voice. Pastors are mere mouthpieces. And what is that that you hear? You hear the very voice of Jesus, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. What does this new holding, seeing, and hearing accomplish? It puts you and I among those who are raised, not among those who have fallen. You have already been raised to new life when you were baptized like little Eli. And as Christ has kept you in his arms, eyes, and ears, you are being preserved to rise again. You shall be raised again when you hear the voice of Jesus like Lazarus did. And your burial place will be overcome by the power of Jesus' voice. Thanks be to God, dear Christians. The presentation of Christ means your presentation to God as one holy and without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish takes place. In Christ you were and are still presented as a holy one of God. Let us now go forth as his new creation and serve the Lord and our neighbors with what we hold on to, with what we see, and with what we hear. Namely, the Lord and his word, so that we may be a blessing to those we are called to love, all of whom the Lord puts before us. Because the one in front of you, your dear neighbor, you are called to love. Christ was presented for you. Our Christmas celebration continues in our arms, in our eyes, and in our ears. Hold Jesus. See Jesus. Hear Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.